Fred Film Radio interview.
So hi, I'm Sarah Bradbury from Fred Film Radio. An absolute pleasure to be with you here at the Cinema Made in Italy Festival. Maybe we could begin with a brief introduction to this wonderful film, The Beautiful Summer. For people who don't know anything about it, what can they expect?
The Beautiful Summer is a film based on novel by the same title, La Bella Estate, written by a master of Italian literature, Cesare Pavese. I was in love with the novel, and therefore I was crazy enough to try to adapt a masterpiece. And with lots of, I was humble about it, but in love, and when you're in love, you do crazy things. And it's set in 1938, Turin, which is northern Italy. And it's about a young girl who's coming from the countryside, working in the big city, and gets fascinated by a world she doesn't know. But it's also the story of her body growing and desiring to be loved and touched and seen. Is a sensual coming of age, as I say, of a girl who finally will understand who she loves and finally will be free to be herself, finding the real love of her life, which is not what society expected from her.
And I guess when you're adapting a novel, you know, it affords so many opportunities, but also challenges, you know, being able to fit so many words into a screenplay. What's your approach in that sense? How do you decide, you know, what to keep and where to almost sort of fill in the gaps with your own imagination, etc.?
I was intimidated by the novel. I was intimidated by the author, because the only person who dared to adapt his work was Michelangelo Antonioni with the film called Le Amiche that won Venice in, I think, 1956. So the first thing I thought was, who am I to put my hands on such a, you know, wonderful author and book, and the only person who had the guts and the talent to do that was a master of Italian filmmaking like Antonioni. But in a very humble and simple way, I approached the text and I read it so many times. It could have been anything, you know. It could have been story of a group of young people who grew up in Turin. It could have been the story of this girl who's searching. You know, it's about desire. It's also about female woman desires. It could have been that. But then when I read the book many times, I realized that the pages were on fire when Pavese was talking about the story, the relationship of the two girls. And I felt that maybe that was the story that was worth telling. It's the friendship that becomes something else. And it's this older woman who takes her to a city of Bohemian artist, and to a freedom this young girl from the countryside never knew. So I decided to focus and put the light on those pages, which for me were very strong in the novel. And the novel was written 80 years ago, and it was so modern to me that it was worth the challenge, and it was also worth making a mistake, you know, because that's what you do when you approach such an important material. You run a very high risk of getting it completely wrong.
Talking about the setting, you know, 1938 Turin, obviously, you know, that political backdrop, very significant, kind of the turmoil that's happening in the background. How was that important kind of to the storytelling? And also, what kind of challenges did that pose, I guess, being able to, you know, have the sets look convincingly from that time, the costumes? I mean, there's such attention to detail in your approach in that respect.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with details, you know, and that's my thing. In the novel, Cesare Pavese never mentioned the political situation. It just once says that there's a sort of group of fascists getting together in a square. Nothing more than that. But I thought it was important to sketch a little bit of the political situations around this group of kids, because they are at the stage of their life where they don't really care about what's around them, but it's all about their body, their heart, their pumping hearts. They want to fall in love, they want to get together, they want to make love. And it's a little bit what happened during the pandemic, you know. At least in Rome, these kids were escaping from their houses when running risks in order to meet their girlfriends and boyfriends. And they really didn't care about the disaster that was going to happen and the disaster that was around them. And I guess the world was changing at the time of the novel. The war was approaching, and obviously the fascism was at its peak. But for these young people, because all the protagonists are very young, that mattered to a certain extent. The protagonist, Ginia, does something very symbolic at the beginning of the film. She closes the window when Mussolini speaks. I mean, the voice of Mussolini is heard through a radio, and she just shut the window. That's not her life. But still, it's there. And then the black shirts at the end where she's hanging or washing. And I just wanted to, it's like a sketch, you know, just sketch around her, the situation, the political situation, but not to go, I didn't want to go too deep because that is not the story that we're talking about.
And as you mentioned, obviously the story is really orbiting around, you know, these two women and the relationship between them and how they're the kind of these opposites, but they're like magnets that are, you know, kind of attracting. So getting your casting right for those two was obviously going to be really crucial. And I couldn't believe that it was both their first time in front of the camera. So how did you decide on them? And also realizing that Deva is obviously Vincent Cassel's and Monica Bellucci's daughter. I was like, that's why she looks the way that she does. But tell me about working with those.
The casting was very long. We did street casting for many months. We saw 400 people. Then we saw people from with a theater background. So some of them have a theater background. Somebody from TV. Severino is a TV star in Italy. And so is Alessandro Piavani, the guy who plays Guido. And then Ginia. Actually, it's not her first time. She was the protagonist of Alice Rosbacher's film and when she was 11. And then she did other things, but it's the first time she's a real protagonist and it's a character. You know, it's not, she doesn't play herself anymore. She plays a character, period. And she's dressed like that. She walks like that. So she had to enter a character that, and that was probably the first time. Deva, I wanted somebody who was a model, who knew what it meant to put a brave face, although, you know, her life was not what she wanted people to believe it was. And Deva was very young when I started writing the film, but because it takes a long time to put a film together, like 4 years, by the time I shot the film, I saw many, many actresses, amazing actresses, but then I kept thinking, I need to know this young girl who's actually a model, what she feels. And Deva is a model. She's been working since she was 14. So we waited for her to turn 18, and she turned 18 the day we started shooting the film, so that she could bring in the story that melancholy of somebody who works so young and always has to put a smiling face, no matter what. And then I worked a lot with my actors. They're all very young. They come from different backgrounds. Some people never been on a film. So there are many debuts on this film. Most of them never done a film before. And they've done other things. But, you know, also acting in films is different from... And then the film is what you've seen.
In terms of kind of the aesthetic approach, I mean, as we were saying, the attention to detail, but, you know, so many of the shots could almost be a painting or a photo. But that does seem to kind of bleed into as well, kind of this coming of age and falling in love and, you know, even looking at the way the women look and the clothing aspect. So what role kind of does beauty and aesthetic play in the film for you?
There's a lot of research. Aesthetics is very important to me. I mean, I think I believe I have my own aesthetic, so people may like it or not, but it's very important for me to look at something where, and I recognize myself in what I see. And I studied the color palette, which I'm obsessed with, and it's a diktat at the beginning of every project. But also, as you mentioned, photographs were a massive source of inspiration for me, and mainly Man Ray and Leslie Miller. There's a reproduction of a photo of Leslie Miller, and it's the bathtub scene. I asked the production designer to build a bathtub like the one in the photo with Leslie Miller so that I can reproduce that exactly in the same way, that picture that really had I was impressed by. And And then the communication between the production designer and the costume designer, I force them to be together every day. I give them a palette. I allow red only for one character. And that dialogue, out of that dialogue, with a very small budget, we managed to do something that I'm happy about. But it was, and also, the other thing that was important to me, because the story is modern, you know, even if it's set in 1938, I think it deals with something that is really modern. I asked the production designer and the costume designer to collect all the things that and clothes that we use today that actually are from the 30s. So you'll be surprised to know that the polo looks like a Ralph Lauren polo that Severino wears is actually from the 30s, that she wear clogs, Ginny, at the beginning of the picnic, and those were original, but the same one that I wear every day. So I asked them to collect and bring me all the things that are from that period, which is very modern, and that we use today, we don't even know that they're from the 30s, because I wanted to break the distance that usually a costume film establishes with an audience, a young audience. I dreamt that young audience could go and see the film, and so happened in Italy that the audience was very, very young. And so to break the distance of a costume piece, you know, which is there austere and not very stern, and make it look as modern as possible. Mm-hmm. So there was a research and there was work behind, you know, what's there.
I'm almost out of time, but, you know, in terms of the themes that come out of it, I mean, I guess, like you say, it's period set, but there's something incredibly contemporary about these two women, you know, almost having to fight the society they're in and not be free to kind of express their feelings in the way they want to. And also, you know, the way that they're thinking about their bodies and the agency and autonomy they can have over that. You really feel a difference between when it's kind of a male gaze and how the nudity, the element of nudity plays out throughout the film. So what do you think some of those themes might be?
But the themes are from that genius of Cesare Pavese, you know, I just humbly, you know, copied everything. And I think it's the bodies are there growing to be seen, touched, loved, looked at. And there's something very modern as well, which is Ginia, who kept asking to be seen by somebody else's eyes. And that reminded me so much of the social media when, you know, people who like you or write comments make you alive. So you exist because somebody is looking at you or is expressing their like or dislike. And that caught my attention because she's obsessed with having a portrait taken of herself. She wants to be seen with somebody else's eyes. And it's like, it's exactly what it's happening, you know, with the social media. You know, you go and count your likes, especially if you're very young. But not even that young sometimes. And it's the discovery of your own body and the freedom that women should have or had. We haven't invented anything, you know. It was there. Ginia could be my grandmother, but she might as well be my daughter. That problems of growing up and finding yourself haven't changed that much.
And just very quickly, you know, what does it mean to you to have the film here as, you know, Cinema Made in Italy Festival? And I guess, why might it be important to be sort of providing this platform for Italian cinema? And do you think that it's in a really good place, I guess, particularly in connecting with international audiences?
I think it's very important to be here. Adrian Watton, who's the person who chooses the film and promotes the event, is a genius, you know, because he gives the opportunity to many Italian filmmakers to be seen here, where it's very difficult to be distributed here. Yeah, and it's very difficult to be distributed everywhere because there are many, you know, beautiful films that they don't get distribution, but it's a platform that is given to Italian filmmakers to be seen in a country where probably it's a little bit more difficult to be distributed than any other country. So, and it's a dialogue between an English audience and Italian filmmakers, which is very important. You know, it's very important that you know, it's a dual thing for us to be seen and for an English for the British audience to know that there are talents, there are stories in a country that is not too far from here. It's a joy. It's the second time I come over. You know, I was here with my previous film. It was a London Film Festival, and my film was shown here, the French Institute. And it's really nice and very emotional to be back.
And do you know what you're going to be working on next? Or are you still thinking about it?
Yeah, I'm working on two things. One, it's a book set in Naples, and it's incredibly amazing story written by an amazing writer called Massimiliano Virgilio. And the theme, again, is really strong. And it's about a couple who can't have kids. And how far would you go to make your partner happy when you don't? We can't have kids. And the other one, it's a script that I'm working myself at the moment, which is based on a real story of a man who lived in the 16th century, and it's about being different. And, you know, we love diversity, we admire diversity, we study diversity, but do we really accept it? And that from that theme, you know, the real life of this guy inspired me to write a film about it. So let's see what happens in the next 4 or 5 years, which is what it takes to make a film.
Well, it sounds like you're going to be very busy. Well, thank you so much for sharing
thank
all that
you.
With me. And really enjoy presenting it here and for your Q&A. I bet you're going to have some great questions there too. Thanks
Hopefully.
So much for your time.
Grazie mille. Grazie, grazie.
Grazie. And I've been Sarah Bradbury for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider. Thank you.
Fred. 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.